Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is John O'Neill. As Chairman of the Board of Directors, I want to welcome you to the Star Entertainment Group Limited's seventh annual general meeting, which is also being audio webcast live today. Before we start, may I ask everyone to please turn off your mobile phones to avoid interruptions to the meeting and interference with our audio-visual equipment. As a quorum is clearly present, the meeting is properly constituted, and I formally declare the meeting open. I'd like to begin by introducing your board of directors. I will ask each director to stand as I introduce them. With me today are Matt Bekier, our Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, and our non-executive directors, Katie Lahey, AM, Richard Sheppard, Gerard Bradley, Sally Pitkin, and Greg Hayes. Also with us today are Paula Martin, our Company Secretary, and Chad Barton, our Chief Financial Officer. And John Robinson, who's here in the front, the company's audit partner from Ernst & Young for the 2017 financial year. I'd like to thank John for his audit services for the company since 2013. John is retiring as the company's external audit partner and handing over to a new partner from Ernst & Young for FY18. So thank you, John, very much. Members of the executive management team from Star Entertainment Group are also in attendance today. As advised in my letter to shareholders enclosing the notice of meeting for this AGM, Mr. Greg Hayes has advised of his retirement from the board to be effective upon conclusion of the meeting today, and as such will not be standing for re-election. A significant increase in interest in unlisted entities, both as a director and as an investor, will mean that going forward Greg will be focusing his commitments on those entities. On behalf of the board, Greg, and on behalf of all the shareholders, I express my sincere appreciation to you for the contribution that you have made since your appointment. In particular, your role as Chair of the Audit Committee, member of the Risk and Compliance Committee, and as a member of the Investment and Capital Expenditure Review Committee during a period in which the company has entered into joint venture arrangements in connection with large-scale capital work projects has been of great value to the company and to me as chairman. So, Greg, thank you very much. As announced to the ASX on the 23rd of October, we have appointed a new non-executive director, Mr. Zatko Todorovski, who joins us today in the front row. While all necessary regulatory approvals are obtained, Zatko will join the board as an observer. So welcome, Zatko. As mentioned in the ASX announcement, Zatko is an experienced executive with over 30 years' experience in the oil and gas, logistics and manufacturing sectors. He has a strong background in corporate strategy and planning, originating and executing mergers and acquisitions and strategic procurement. Zatko has deep finance expertise across capital markets, investor relations, accounting and tax, combined with a strong corporate governance mindset. We look forward to welcoming Zatko to the board of the Star Entertainment Group. Before we proceed to the items of business for the meeting, our Managing Director and CEO, Matt Bekier, and I will provide our reports on the company. Again, welcome to the Star Entertainment Group's annual general meeting here at the Star, a property that in 2017 was once more a multi-award winning business and is now also home to the only luxury hotel in New South Wales to win a Forbes five-star rating, The Darling. This is now my sixth annual general meeting as your chairman. With your indulgence, I'd like to briefly reflect on the progress made and key achievements of the last few years that bring the Star Entertainment Group to where it is today, an organisation with a clear vision and strategic plan to maximise the value of tourism assets based in great locations. We have a high-quality management team, led by Matt, in place that is continuing to execute against that plan to improve financial performance and returns to shareholders. Since FY15, annual statutory NPAT has increased from $169 million to $264 million, and annual statutory EBITDA has increased from $451 million to $586 million. Earnings per share have grown from 20.5 cents to 32 cents per share, and dividends have increased 18.2% and 23.1% respectively in the last 2 years. During this time frame, we have also embarked on significant transformation projects at our properties here in Sydney and on the Gold Coast, and with more to come. Managing Director and CEO Matt Bekier will talk to this in more detail shortly. Equally importantly, since 2014, we have formed and continue to develop our relationship with joint venture partners, Chow Tai Fook and Far East Consortium, with master plan developments proposed for each of our properties in Sydney and on the Gold Coast, as well as the Queen's Wharf Brisbane project. In FY17, this partnership was also expanded through the acquisition of the Sheraton Grand Mirage Resort, a unique beachfront asset on the Gold Coast. This complementary partnership provides not only capital investment, but also depth of experience and expertise and access to valuable distribution channels in Asia that support our pursuit of current and long-term opportunities for Australia in the tourism sector. With this foundation, I'm confident in our ability to realise our vision of becoming Australia's leading integrated resort company through fully harnessing our unique opportunities in each property. Turning more specifically to the 2017 financial year, as reported to shareholders in the annual report, the year in review saw the Star Entertainment Group continue to mature as a business. Operating results remained steady, while there was continued concentration on progressing our strategic agenda. This included continuing to invest in key domestic assets, which I'll touch on and Matt will expand upon, and diversifying our international business. With international visitation, most notably from Asia, continuing to rise substantially, we are now well advanced with a diversification strategy to benefit from a broader base of customers and source markets in our international VIP business. A key development to support this diversification and tourism-focused strategy is the new luxury suite hotel at the Gold Coast. Let's take a look at a time-lapse video of the construction of this wonderful boutique hotel at the Gold Coast. It is on track to be open before the Gold Coast 2018 Commonwealth Games, of which we're very proud to be a major sponsor.
Videos
aren't working. Oh, apologies. During rehearsal they were working. And I can assure you it was very good. So I can't do justice to it. But the new boutique hotel on the Gold Coast is just out of the box. On time, on budget. Handover likely in December, opening in February, and in time, as we said, for the Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast starting April next year. Let me now provide an overview of the company's performance in the 2017 financial year. Continued stable leadership across the board and the executive management team was again instrumental in delivering sustained operating momentum and financial performance, earnings growth and increasing returns to shareholders. And in terms of the company's financial performance for FY17, statutory net profit after tax for the group was $264.4 million, up 36% on the prior year. This was supported by domestic revenue growth in the second half of the year and effective ongoing cost management, assisted by a favourable win rate in the international VIP rebate business. Also, applying the normalised win rate of 1.35%, normalised NPAT was $214.5 million, down 11.1% on FY16. Lower turnover in the international VIP rebate business and disruption in the North Asia market, which is now abated to an extent, impacted on the result. Statutory earnings before interest, tax, depreciation and amortisation increased 19.9% on FY16 to $586.2 million, and normalised EBITDA was $515.1 million, down 7.4%. Importantly, the board declared a final dividend of 8.5 cents per share, fully franked, taking total dividends for the year to 16 cents per share. This was up 23% or 23.1% on FY16, despite the capital projects program, and represents growth in dividends returned to shareholders over each of the last 5 years. As I outlined earlier, these results were achieved as transformational projects were carried out across our properties. Hotel room refurbishments at the Astral Towers here in Sydney were completed. At the newly rebranded The Star Gold Coast, all 596 hotel rooms were refurbished. The luxury suite hotel, which sadly I haven't been able to show you, at the Gold Coast is nearing completion, and new food and beverage entertainment offerings have been opened in Sydney and on the Gold Coast. This reinvigoration of existing assets, the acquisition of the Sheraton Grand Mirage on the Gold Coast, and the development of the new suite hotel at the Gold Coast highlight our commitment to delivering world-class tourism and entertainment destinations, as does our pipeline of further capital works projects. In the past year, we have firstly seen a decision made on the winning design for a proposed Ritz-Carlton hotel and apartment tower at the Star Sydney. We've received development approvals for a new 700-key hotel and apartment tower at the Star Gold Coast in a further joint venture with Chow Tai Fook and Far East Consortium. And we've taken possession of the 13-hectare Queen's Wharf Brisbane integrated resort development site and commenced demolition works. Now, my auto cue now says, let's watch a time-lapse video of some of that work undertaken within the Brisbane CBD. Rest assured again, that's Queen's Wharf site, 12% of the Brisbane CBD, as I said, 13 hectares, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to develop literally from ground up. Excuse me.
I'm not working, I'm so sorry. None of the videos today.
None of the videos, correct. Thank you. Confirmation, none of the videos work today. So I'll continue to give a description. It's going to be spectacular when it's finished. Five hotels, the entertainment precinct, beautification of the riverbank and public space, you know, 50 bars and restaurants, a transformational game changer for Brisbane. As I said, it's the Queen's Wharf Brisbane project is a joint venture. It's the first joint venture we entered into with Chow Tai Fook as part of the Destination Brisbane Consortium, and bringing this extraordinary transformation to life with our partners. As mentioned at the outset, it's a partnership which has continued to grow and flourish over time. Chow Tai Fook and Far East Consortium are also partnering with us on projects in Sydney and at the Gold Coast. Their expertise in property development, retail, and access to tourism source markets in Asia is incredibly valuable. So too is the support of the local communities in which we operate. We have been extremely focused on community engagement programs during the planning and development phases in Sydney, Gold Coast and Brisbane. There are considerable advantages we are bringing and can continue to deliver in terms of employment, jobs, tourism assets, taxes and other economic or community contributions during this transformation period for all our properties. However, it is also imperative we invite the community to take the journey with us and acknowledge their opinions throughout the process. In closing, I apologise for the absence of videos. but I'm pleased to report that in FY17 we maintained momentum and efficiencies in the business. We also progressed our strategic priorities, including the ongoing delivery and planning of substantial development projects for the benefit of shareholders. I'd like to thank the committed directors of the Star Entertainment Group Board and Matt Becker and his management team, and make again special mention of Greg Hayes' contribution during his term on the board. On behalf of the entire board, I wish Greg all the best for the future. I also want to extend my gratitude to all our shareholders for their ongoing support. I'll now hand over to our Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, Matt Becker. Thank you very much.
John, thank you. And just for all the shareholders, we will be putting the videos that we're meant to show today up on the website by close of business tonight. So apologies again for the technical shortcoming. Ladies and gentlemen, the Chairman touched on the progress we are making on our strategic agenda, including the ongoing investments in our tourism and entertainment assets. I would like to provide some more further context on that topic. Let me focus for a moment on the international tourism opportunities for Australia and what that means for us at The Star. These opportunities are aligned with our investment strategy and our vision to become Australia's leading integrated resort company. Projections from Tourism Australia and other industry bodies have identified for some time now that the expected surge of inbound visitors from China will increase over the next decade. However, only a fortnight ago, those projections were further updated. The rise of Chinese tourists to Australia is set to grow at an even more rapid pace than previously envisaged. The Australia-China Business Council now expects the number of Chinese tourists to Australia to triple from the current figure of just over 1 million annually to 3.3 million a year by 2026. The growth of the affluent Chinese middle class demographic is behind the increased growth in this forecast, along with trade and travel agreements that make this country a more appealing destination for the Chinese. We also know that most of these Chinese visitors, whether they are here on holidays, visiting friends or family, or traveling here for a variety of other reasons, we know that they want high-end and authentic experiences. They like to stay in 4 or 5-star hotels, eat quality produce at our quality restaurants. They like to shop, go sightseeing, and take in the natural beauty, the climate, and the clean air of Australia. But we cannot be complacent about these projections. Tourism is a fiercely competitive industry. The Star Entertainment Group faces competition domestically and from around the world when it comes to attracting tourists from China and other international markets. China is not the only area of growth for us, or for Australia. There are increasing visitation numbers from Southeast Asian countries and a variety of other Northern Hemisphere regions. Rising economies, including India, are also poised to be tourism growth markets for us. We're taking a very similar view with our international VIP business. The Chairman's already referred to the diversification strategy that we've been pursuing in this business. As outlined in our annual report, this diversification delivered pleasing results for us in last financial year. Our strategy of providing a compelling, high-end tourism experience for VIP and premium mass customers from an expanding range of source markets has shown very good traction. In support of this strategy, we expanded our sales team to enable coverage of a broader international footprint. We now welcome VIPs or premium mass guests from 13 countries and continue to access new markets. The key for us is to provide world-class offerings. Offerings unique to the great locations in which we operate, which are Sydney, the Gold Coast, and Brisbane. Let me update you now on each one of these properties. In Sydney, we completed extensive works in 2017, including the refurbishment of all of our old hotel rooms and the expansion and upgrade of the main gaming floor. While talking about our hotels, the Chairman's mentioned the Forbes 5-star rating for the Darling. The Darling was recognized by Forbes as the only 5-star luxury hotel in New South Wales, which is a fantastic achievement. The Star Events Centre won Best Specialty Event Venue for the third year running at the National Meeting and Events Awards. Development approvals were also received this month to complete around $500 million worth of capital works at this property. The plans include a new arrival experience, a new luxury retail zone, VIP facilities upgrades, and infrastructure upgrades that will improve our sustainability outcomes. development plans for a new $500 million Ritz-Carlton hotel, an apartment tower, and the associated food and beverage and entertainment amenities will be formally lodged this financial year. Architectural firm FJMT won the right to design the tower after a design excellence competition early in the year. A panel of experts decided on the design, and that panel included the state architect. A significant community consultation program was also embedded into the process to make sure that we have good acceptability. In Brisbane, the Destination Brisbane Consortium took possession of the Queen's Wharf site at the start of the year. Demolition and excavation works are now well underway, with the site largely cleared. In 2018, we expect excavation works to commence and to start laying the foundations for the car parks and basements of the core development. Some of the public areas in the river, around the riverfront will also be taking shape over the next financial year. And at the Gold Coast, again, all existing hotel rooms at the Star Gold Coast have been refurbished, and a range of new food and beverage offerings have been opened. The new luxury suite hotel and the extension of the main gaming floor will be operational before the Commonwealth Games in April 2018. And importantly, the apartment pre-sales for the new 700-key hotel and apartment tower on the island have exceeded our expectations following the launch to the market only last month. We are confident that we will reach the pre-sales threshold and commence the funding of the project. There will be around 400 apartments in the Star Residences, which will be part of the tower development. I now want to look at the financial results for 2017, which we released in August of this year. We showed good progress in the performance of the core business, despite a softer trading environment and disruption in Sydney and the Gold Coast due to the capital works that we're undertaking. We've also seen positive momentum post the loyalty program relaunch, with member perception improving and pleasing growth in private gaming room revenues. The second half of the year delivered solid domestic revenue growth from our completed investments. For the full year, actual gross revenue across the group grew 3.2% to $2.4 billion. Normalized gross revenue declined 3.9% to $2.3 billion. Domestic gaming revenues grew 2% to $1.5 billion. Non-gaming cash revenue was up 0.6% to $248 million. The international VIP business witnessed actual revenue growth of 7.3%, supported by an unusually high win rate of 1.59%. International VIP business turnover was down about 19.9%, with lower volumes impacted by the high win rate and the well-documented disruption in the North Asian market that the chairman has talked about. But it was pleasing to see that our collections remained strong, reflecting a continued focus on credit risk management and effective credit processes. Operating expenses for last year were up only 1% on previous year to $971 million, despite record capital expenditure, despite the relaunch of the loyalty program, expansion of our VIP sales teams, and the rebranding of the Gold Coast property. We funded these incremental growth expenditures by cutting other areas in our expense budgets. I would now like to turn to our people, as this is an area that is critical to our success. The transformation of our integrated resorts will create thousands of new jobs over the next 5 years. The growth of inbound tourism will also require the industry to expand its workforce to cope with those increased visitation numbers. We're preparing for that future in a variety of ways. We're embedding our values and culture to drive ongoing improvements in guest service. We're also partnering with institutions in a practical and value-add way. For example, we partnered this year with TAFE New South Wales to establish a Sydney new School of Hospitality Excellence. A similar initiative was launched in Queensland last year. The Star Entertainment Group also encourages and supports its local communities and the events that matter to the cities in which we're based. The value of contributions to community groups, charitable organizations, and partnerships across the group exceeded $13 million last year. I'm delighted to confirm that our properties won 48 awards during the financial year 2017. We were acknowledged for hospitality and entertainment across several categories, for diversity and inclusion, as an employer of choice, and for sustainability, most notably winning a 6 Green Star Communities rating for the Queen's Wharf Brisbane Integrated Resorts Development. Perhaps most impressively, the Star Entertainment Group was again acknowledged in the Dow Jones Sustainability Index as the global leader in casinos and gaming in the casinos and gaming sector. The annual review saw us achieve the top ranking for the second successive year, with maximum scores in anti-crime and policy measures, and for promoting responsible gambling. Let me now update you on the trading in the early parts of 2018. For the period from the 1st of July to the 22nd of October of 2017, total group normalized revenue is up 4% on the prior comparable period, with domestic revenue up 5.2%. Domestic revenues in both Sydney and Queensland are exhibiting similar levels of growth, with momentum continuing particularly nicely in the Star Gold Coast ahead of the opening of the new facilities. Volumes in the international VIP rebate business are in line with the prior period, as Star continues to benefit from the diversification strategy aimed at broadening the base of our customers and the source markets in that line of business. Statutory group revenues have been impacted by a low win rate in the international VIP business, which can fluctuate over short periods of time. Actual win rates were above the theoretical win rate in prior period, as we mentioned early on. This has impacted the statutory group revenue, which is down 12.4% on the prior period. Now, let me finish off by looking at our priorities for the 2018 financial year. They are clear and unchanged from the direction we described last year to you. We plan to improve earnings across the group through continued focus on domestic gaming operational efficiencies, deliver on the next stage of the Capital Works Program, progress planning approvals for joint venture developments with Chow Tai Fook and Far East Consortium in Sydney and the Gold Coast, and continue the diversification of the group's VIP and premium mass revenue base, and finally, continue the drive to differentiate the value proposition of each one of our properties in each one of the markets that we operate in. In closing, I would like to extend my gratitude to the board and management team for their support, to our team members whose enthusiasm and commitment has been so important to our ongoing growth. I also want to thank the millions of guests who visited us during the year and experienced the significant changes we've made and continue to make to enhance each one of our properties. I will now pass back to John for the formal business of today's meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Matt. Ladies and gentlemen, as you can see, we've made great progress on our transformational projects this year, and we look forward to unveiling even more next year, and if we're lucky, with videos. Now onto the formal business of the AGM. The notice of meeting was sent to all shareholders on the 22nd of September 2017, and copies of the notice were also available in the foyer this morning. So I'll take the notice of meeting as read. Before we start on the items of business, I'd like to outline the key procedural aspects of the meeting. First, only shareholders, their appointed proxies, or corporate representatives are entitled to make comments, ask questions, or vote at this meeting. All other attendees are welcome as observers. Second, any comments or questions must be relevant to the business of the meeting. This will allow the greatest opportunity for all in attendance to participate. As always, your board and members of the management team will be available after the meeting to speak with you. If you wish to make a comment or ask a question about a specific resolution, please make your way to the microphone when the resolution is being considered. Please show your green or yellow admission card to our microphone attendant and state your name, and if you are a proxy or corporate representative, the name of the shareholder you represent. If you have more than one question on an item of business, please ask your questions together and then resume your seat. I'll then address each of your questions in turn. Some shareholders have previously submitted their questions on the question form that was provided with the notice of meeting. I'll address some of the more frequently raised questions and topics when we get to the relevant item of business. Separate responses have already been provided to other individual queries. In terms of voting, you'll need a green card to vote on each resolution. If you are a joint shareholder or you have already voted prior to the meeting, you would have received a yellow non-voting card, which means that you may speak at this meeting but not vote. If you are eligible to vote and you have not received a green card, please see a representative of Link Market Services in the foyer. Visitors holding a red card are not eligible to vote or speak at this meeting. As stated in the notice of meeting, voting on each of the resolutions will be conducted by poll. This ensures fairness to all shareholders as it takes into account all direct votes, proxy votes and votes on the floor. I will now open the poll. If you need to leave early, you can place your completed voting card in one of the ballot boxes near the exit. If you have any questions about how to complete the voting card, again, please see a Link Market Services representative. In relation to the items of business to be considered today, the resolutions in items 2 to 5 are ordinary resolutions that require a majority of votes in favour of the resolution. The resolutions in items 6 and 7 relating to constitutional amendments are special resolutions that require at least 75% of votes in favour of the resolution. As we commence discussion on each item in the notice of meeting, the total number of valid proxy votes and direct votes received for that item and how those votes have been directed will be displayed on the screen behind me. The results of the poll will be released to the ASX later today after the votes have been counted. I will now turn to the individual items of business in the order set out in the notice of meeting. Item 1, financial statements and reports. The first item on the agenda is to receive and consider financial statements, the director's report, and the auditor's report for the year ended the 30th of June 2017. The financial statements were approved by the directors and audited by Ernst & Young. There will be no voting on this item as it is a discussion item only. However, in a moment, I'll invite your questions and comments. As mentioned earlier, John Robinson, the Ernst & Young partner responsible for the audit, is present today and available to answer any questions relevant to the conduct of the audit and the preparation and content of the auditor's report. Shareholders had the opportunity to submit written questions to the auditor prior to the meeting. No questions for the auditor were received. I will now move straight to inviting questions about the financial statements, the director's report and the auditor's report. This is your opportunity as shareholders to ask questions or make comments about the management of the company or the company's operations in the last financial year and hear directly from your chairman, board and executive management members. I'll throw it open for questions.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I would like to introduce Carol Lemer, who's attending today's meeting as a proxy holder.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name's Carol Lemer, and I represent the Australian Shareholders Association and have 260 proxies, which represents about 890,000 votes. First of all, to compliment the organisation on the financial performance, which has been very sound, operating revenue, net profit after tax, EPS and dividends are all up from the previous year, and a pretty good balance sheet and cash flow position. Diversity policies and practices and the good focus you have on those and the comprehensive corporate governance statement that you have put out, and of course the awards that have been received that you mentioned, including international ones across your various entertainment precincts. In terms of questions, I was wondering whether you could give a little bit more detail on the differences between the premium mass market versus a VIP market and the relative, I guess, value of those two markets. And also, with your main competitor, Crown, and them having some monopolies in Melbourne and Perth and you're losing exclusivity in Sydney in 2019 when, and I understand Crown will be establishing in about 2021, whether you could talk about the likely impacts of that on the business as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Carol, and thank you very much for the very positive feedback. In terms of VIP clients and the forthcoming competition with Crown, when Crown opens in probably 2021. Firstly, just touching on VIP clients, very well publicised Crown arrests in China in late 2017, about a year ago, had an impact on the number of Chinese VIP customers coming to Australia and New Zealand for the remainder of FY17. And while Star's VIP business was impacted in FY17, it did perform relatively well. Growth rates exceeded both Crown and Sky. VIP turnover for the Star Group in FY17 exceeded that of both Crown and Sky combined. But our strategy, which we embraced a couple of years ago, of diversification away from the China junkets in VIP has been the key to relative success into the mass premium market. Southeast Asian and premium mass segments have had specific focus on growing strongly, offsetting the declines from China. In terms of our approach to China, it remains cautious. We continue to work with junkets out of Macau and Hong Kong, and we are monitoring very closely what other international casinos are doing directly in China, but not following at this point. In terms of our preparations for losing our monopoly and direct competition when Crown opens its doors, probably late 2021, maybe 2022. Well, when you walk around the premises here, Star Sydney, you will see substantial improvements happening over the last 4 or 5 years. Actually, under Tabcorp's stewardship, before the demerger, $870 million was spent on a major refurbishment. And since Echo, now Star Entertainment, came into being, we've continued to invest year on year about $100 million in improvements throughout the building. As I mentioned, the refurbishment of the Astral hotel rooms and residences, and right across the private gaming space, also a new buffet, Harvest, new bars, Latitude and Vantage, and just a commitment to excellence in terms of the offerings we have at the Star here in Sydney, and a commitment to excellence in terms of service. I mean, I mentioned, and Matt mentioned, we have a very keen desire together with our joint venture partners to create a fantastic new hotel apartment tower with the Ritz-Carlton running the hotel on the northern end of Parama Road. And we're very anxious to receive a planning approval from the various authorities to get cracking on that. Hopefully, with a bit of luck, we might have that new hotel and apartment block finished before Crown opens at Barangaroo, with a bit of luck. And generally, you know, we're aware of what Crown will be offering at Barangaroo. We're aware that whilst it's called a VIP-only facility, it will only have table games, and the minimum bets will be as low as $20. So, you know, it's a bit generous to say it's VIP only. Look, our state of preparedness is top of mind, and retention of people is key, because undoubtedly, as Crown moves into the market, they will be looking to recruit our relationship managers and the like. So, Carol, I'm very comfortable that the management team and board are really eternally vigilant to ensure that we're in the best shape possible for competition when it arrives.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I would like to introduce Mr. Roman Konitsnikov, who's attending today's meeting as a shareholder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to congratulate you and your team for a good result, but I have great concern regarding our company. You see, Mr. Chairman, one of the best sources of revenue is in danger, as its name is glitch, similar to what happened to our video. Our VIP gamblers are deserting us because of this world. You need to understand, Mr. Chairman, that people who gamble $30, $50, $100 or more every second expect, if they got lucky, to reap the benefit which are winnings. They get disappointed when they win and oops, someone comes to them and says to tell them, sorry, you did not win. A glitch happened and we are taking all your winnings away from you. I'm aware of a couple of glitches that happened last year. The effect of the glitches was minimal to our company, about 20 to 30 people with value around $30,000 casino dollars, which is not even cash. They're essentially credits. This is nothing compared to what these people live in our machines every day. Instead, some middle management person came to these people and told them that they, and I quote, this is a business, and casino can't give away money from nothing. These people were betting $30 a hit. Just calculate how much money they already invested in our company, and this win gives them just some of their losses. As a result, our VIP rooms are empty. I can invite you, Mr. Chairman, as my guest to our sovereign room, so you can see it by yourself. Our Brisbane VIP room is empty. The only VIP room that has a bit of life is the Gold Coast, and this is only thanks to our business development manager, Mr. Jimmy Solvos, who brings people from all over Australia and the world to our gaming machines. Not everything bad in our company. We have excellent hotels and very good managers. Our Darling Hotel is one of the best in the world, thanks to our hotel management, and soon we will have another Darling Hotel in the Gold Coast. Another thing that I'd like to mention is the access to you, Mr. Chairman, and your management team. I wanted to discuss all my concern in private, but I could not get to you or our managing director. I'm holding many shares in many companies, and normally the management of those companies appreciate feedback from the shareholders. You see, Mr. Chairman, many things that happen in any company that management is unaware of, but shareholders see things that can be improved and report it to you for action. Those companies normally going up in value after managing improved the service. After making numerous attempts to contact you or our managing director or communication director, I received back one phone call from Brisbane regarding my concerns. I was promised follow-up calls, but none come. I would appreciate if you could improve the contact process between the management team and us shareholders. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. As to the first part of the question regarding the loyalty program, which we have revamped, I'll ask the Managing Director to respond. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Roman, for bringing these matters to our attention. As we switch to the new loyalty program, obviously, the intention of the new program was to improve benefits for the majority of all of our members. If something's gone wrong in that transition, you know, I would like to follow up on that. We have the Managing Director for Queensland here with us today, and I'll ask him to follow up after this meeting to understand exactly what went wrong. In terms of the specific communication that you've received from one of our middle managers, I apologize for that. That's not the way that we would like to communicate with our guests as well as our shareholders.
So please, let's talk about this at the conclusion of the meeting. Thank you.
Yes, in terms of communication with shareholders, I undertake that we will review our processes and procedures in that regard to ensure that we are meeting the standards that are required in respect of important communications with shareholders. Any further questions on the on item one, financial statements and reports? If there are no further questions, I'll now move to the next two items on the agenda. The two directors standing for re-election at this meeting are myself and Ms. Katie Leahy, AM. As item two relates to my re-election as a director, I will now hand the chair to my fellow director, Greg Hayes. Greg.
Thank you, John, and good morning to everyone. Item two of the agenda is the re-election of Mr. John O'Neill as a director of the company. John retires in accordance with the company's constitution and, being eligible, offers himself for re-election. John was appointed as non-executive director in March 2011 and has been chairman of the board for just over 5 years. John was last re-elected as a director at the 2014 AGM. John is an ex officio member of all board committees, and details of John's extensive experience are included in the director's report section of the annual report. However, by way of a brief overview for those that are here today, I note that John was formerly a managing director and chief executive officer of Australian Rugby Union Limited, chief executive officer of Football Federation Australia, managing director and chief executive officer of the State Bank of New South Wales, and chairman of the Australian Wool Exchange Limited. He was also formerly a director of Tabcorp Holdings Limited and Rugby World Cup Limited. During his time as chairman of this company, John has led the board during a period in which there has been significant progress and achievement outlined in his earlier address to the meeting. As is customary for directors seeking re-election, I welcome John to address shareholders in attendance with a few words. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Greg has given you a brief overview of my career, for which I thank him. I'm pleased to have been a non-executive director of this board since the company's inception in 2011 and to have served as your chairman since June 2012. During the last 6.5 years as a director of your company and prior to that as a non-executive director of Tabcorp Holdings Limited for 3 years, I have developed a depth of knowledge about the entertainment and gaming industry. Also, I understand and appreciate the importance of the regulatory requirements that govern this industry. Importantly, I have an exceptionally strong commitment to stakeholder engagement across the broadest range of stakeholders, including the New South Wales Government and the Queensland Government in particular. In addition, I've been able to apply the experience and knowledge of my previous appointment as the inaugural chairman of Events New South Wales, which followed independent reviews into tourism, event strategy, convention and exhibition space that I conducted on behalf of the government at that time. I was also the chairman of Project Brand Sydney, which was designed to revitalise Sydney on the world stage. My genuine passion for Sydney remains. I haven't taken on any other directorships in the public company space as I continue to be dedicated to leading your company and driving operational excellence, growth opportunities, and to make Star Entertainment Group Australia's leading integrated resort company and maximising shareholder value. I'm also committed to the success of our joint venture projects, most noticeably Queen's Wharf Brisbane project and have directorships with these projects. Indeed, in the joint venture space, I should say that the governance of those joint ventures is such that as chairman of STAR and Matt as the managing director of STAR, we are on the board of all the joint venture vehicles and I chair the joint venture vehicles. I take the responsibility as a director and as chairman of your company extremely seriously, and I'd be absolutely delighted to do that for another 3 years with your support. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. We're now going to put details of valid proxies and direct votes in respect of this item on the screen. Yes, good. And before moving the re-election of Mr. John O'Neill, I ask, are there any questions?
Good morning. I would like to introduce Yvonne Chan, who's attending today's meeting as a shareholder.
Good morning,
welcome.
The board and Mr. Hayes. My question regarding this resolution is, first of all, I comment on the good performance of the company. Being a small shareholder, I'm very happy because it's part of my superannuation. My question related to this is, I can see we've got a strong board with very high skills members. At this time of our technology age, I did not see, members of the board written as with the CV as technology skills and experience. So I'm looking at this in future. Do we look for board members with that kind of qualifications? Because we are moving into a highly sophisticated technology age. And security, cyber securities, and all that seems to be a new challenge. So my question is, will we or is that necessary to recruit people of that kind of caliber?
Okay, well, thank you, Yvonne, for that question. It is a very relevant one. I'll ask the chairman to respond to that in terms of the selection process that we have for members of the board.
Yes, thanks, Yvonne. Yes, we're entirely conscious of ensuring that the board is equipped with all the skills that we think are appropriate for a business of the nature of Star Entertainment Group, and certainly technology and the digital age are aspects of our business that play a vital role. Subject to what happens today, we are, and with Zlatko coming on board, we'll be a non-executive group of six. We are looking for one or two additional directors in the coming 12 months through a process conducted through Egon Zehnder, with a desire to ensure that the board is refreshed and rejuvenated in preparation for the years to come, and also an eye on succession planning over the next 6 to 7 years. We'll take on board, Yvonne, your observations about technology and expertise, and it is on our list of skills that we'd like to have, and there are candidates that we have been talking to in the last few months that will, I think, fulfil that criteria. But thank you for bringing it up.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further questions, please? Yes?
Good morning. I would just like to reintroduce Carol Limmer, who's attending today as a proxy holder.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. To say that the Australian Shareholders Association does support Mr. O'Neill's re-election, and to make the comment also that it's good to see that Star Entertainment Group has a policy about minimum shareholdings for non-executive directors and key management personnel, and that they've all actually got skin in the game. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Any further questions? No. As there's no more questions, I now put the motion to approve item 2, that Mr. John O'Neill be re-elected as a director of the company. I can confirm that the board fully supports the re-election of John as a director. As John mentioned earlier, he has called a poll in relation to all items of business. If you wish, you may now mark your voting card. Please tick either the for or against box next to item 2 and hold on to your voting card until the end of the meeting. Thank you, and I'll now return the chair back to John to proceed with the remaining items of the agenda.
Thank you very much, Greg. I'll now turn to the re-election, item 3, the re-election of Ms. Katie Lay, AM. Katie also retires in accordance with the company's constitution and, being eligible, offers herself for re-election. Katie joined the board as a non-executive director in May 2013 and was last elected at the 2015 AGM. Katie is currently the chair of the People, Culture and Social Responsibility Committee. She is also a member of the Risk and Compliance Committee and the Remuneration Committee. Details of Katie's experience are also included in the Director's Report section of the Annual Report. However, by way of a very brief overview, I note that Katie has extensive experience in the retail, tourism and entertainment sectors and previously held chief executive roles in the public and private sectors. Katie is currently the chair of the Tourism and Transport Forum and the Executive Chairman Australasia for Korn Ferry International. She's also a member of the board of the Australian Brandenburg Orchestra. Katie was previously the chair of Carnival Australia and was a member of the boards of David Jones, Hills Motorway Limited, Australia Post and the Garvin Research Foundation. I welcome Katie to say a few words.
Thank you, John. And thank you, John, for providing a brief overview of my career. And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very happy and indeed privileged to be a member of your board for the last 6.5 years and to chair the People, Culture and Social Responsibility Committee, which I've done since July 2013. As John mentioned, I've been a non-executive director on various boards for more than 20 years. I've also held a number of chief executive roles in the public and private sector, including being the CEO of the New South Wales Chamber of Commerce. I was also the CEO of the City of Sydney in the lead up to the Olympic Games, and prior to that led the Victorian Tourism Commission out of Melbourne. Throughout my executive career, I've gained extensive experience in the retail and tourism industries, in general management, marketing, media and human resources. I've complemented my executive experience with my tertiary qualifications. I have a first class honours and an MBA from Melbourne University. As John mentioned, I'm currently the executive chairman for Australia and New Zealand for Korn Ferry International. Korn Ferry is a global talent management company with over 80 offices around the world and over 7,000 staff. Prior to my current role, for the previous 10 years, I was the CEO of the Business Council of Australia, which is an organisation that represents the interests of the top 100 companies in Australia. In my time at Star Entertainment Group, I've been able to apply my experience in both business and government to the board's deliberation on operational and strategic matters. With your support today, I look forward to continuing to play an integral role on the company of on the board of your company. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Katie. Details of the valid proxies and direct votes in respect to this item of business are set out on the screen. Are there any questions on this item? As there are no questions, I now put the motion to approve item 3, that Katie Leahy AM be re-elected as a director of the company. I confirm that the board fully supports the re-election of Katie as a director. If you wish, you may mark your voting card now. Please tick either for or against box next to item 3. Thank you. Items 4 and 5. The next two items of business, 4 and 5, relate to the remuneration report and the grant of performance rights to the Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer. As disclosed in the notice of meeting, there are voting restrictions applicable to these items. Votes cast on items 4 and 5 by relevant key management personnel or their closely related parties will be excluded unless they are holding directed proxies. As Chairman of the meeting, I am permitted to vote undirected proxies on items 4 and 5 if a shareholder has appointed me as their proxy, with the express authorisation in the voting form to exercise the proxy even though the resolution is connected directly or indirectly with the remuneration of a member of the company's key management personnel. As indicated in the notice of meeting, I intend to vote all undirected proxies in favour of items 4 and 5. Now turning to item 4, which relates, it's the remuneration report, relates to the advisory resolution to adopt the company's remuneration report in respect of the year ended the 30th of June 2017. The remuneration report forms part of the director's report and can be found in the 2017 annual report. The report contains considerable detail about the company's remuneration strategy and policy and directors' and executives' remuneration. I note that, at law, the shareholder vote on this resolution is advisory only and does not bind the directors or the company. However, as a board, we take the level of support and the matters raised very seriously. Under the Corporations Act, if 25% or more of the votes that are cast are voted against the adoption of the remuneration report at two consecutive AGMs, shareholders will be required to vote at the second of those AGMs on a spill resolution. I'm pleased to advise that since this requirement was introduced, the company has consistently received favourable votes for its annual remuneration reports. For the 2016 remuneration report, 98.16% of votes were in favour. The details of valid proxies and direct votes in respect to this item of business are now set out on the screen. Just in terms of some of the common questions on question forms returned by shareholders related to the amount of remuneration and the value of short and long-term incentives paid to executives, I'd just like to take a moment to touch on this subject. I note that, like many organisations, we compete for talent. Our approach to remuneration for executives takes into account comparable ASX listed organisations with similar market capitalisation as well as appropriate industry peers. The Star Entertainment Group's reward programs are directly linked to performance, and our remuneration philosophy is designed to reward superior performance. Bonuses will only be paid where the company and executives have both met or exceeded their targets. As you will have seen, no short-term incentives were paid in FY17, as the performance of the company was below targets set by the board. Long-term incentives tested in FY17 also did not vest. However, the FY14 long-term equity award that was tested earlier this month has vested. This is the first time since the company's inception. As announced to the ASX on the 11th of October, all performance rights granted to executives in FY14 have vested due to both the relative TSR and EPS performance hurdles being satisfied. In that announcement, we also set out the EPS hurdle target in line with the company's commitment to retrospectively disclose this information. So just restating information that was in that press release to the ASX, FY14 hurdles, earnings per share EPS was 50%, the target hurdle was 21.8 cents, the test result was 24.9, so 100% vested. On relative TSR, 50% weighting, the target hurdle was above the 75th percentile of defined peer group. Test result was 113.5% at 85.9th percentile, which was 100% vested. So I now invite questions regarding the company's 27 remuneration report.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. I would just like to reintroduce Carol Limmer, who is attending today's meeting as a proxy holder.
Thank you. I note that you've have over the last few years made some what the Australian Shareholders Association would see as positive changes in relation to remuneration, and one issue would just like to raise and ask that it be considered for the future is that with the long-term incentives, you have a moderated market value. Some companies have been moving to what the ASA prefers, which is I suppose what you call a straight actual market value, and as I understand it, the moderated market value discounts for dividends not received. It's difficult up front, of course, to actually accurately calculate what is not going to be received in dividends, and whether the company would consider one going to actual market value on the long-term incentives, or perhaps two, thinking about paying those dividends at the end if and when the long-term incentives vest. Thank you.
Thanks, Carol. As you know, the STAR uses moderated face value method to determine allocations under the LTI. This method adjusts the market value of shares at the grant date to take into account dividends foregone during the vesting period. As you said, no dividends are paid on performance rights. It's important to note that the STAR does not use the fair value method to determine allocations, i.e. there's no adjustment for the probability of vesting of awards or future share price fluctuations, but we'll take on board your observations and have a look at it. Thank you. As there are no more questions, I now move that the remuneration report in respect to the year ended 30th of June be adopted. If you wish, you may mark your voting card now. Please tick either the for or against box next to item 4 and hold onto your voting card until the end of the meeting. We now move to item 5, granted performance rights to the Managing Director and CEO. It relates to the proposal to grant performance rights to Matt Bekier, the company's MD and Chief Executive. It's proposed that shareholders approve the grant to Matt of a long-term incentive award equivalent to $2.9 million, excuse me, which equates to 627,706 performance rights. The notice of meeting contains significant detail about the performance rights proposed to be granted to Matt under the company's long-term performance plan. As described in the notice of meeting, the number of performance rights is determined based on the formula of $2.9 million divided by the moderated face value of a performance right as at 2 October 2017, which was $4.62 per performance right. The performance rights may vest on the 2nd of October 2021, subject to the satisfaction of applicable performance hurdles. If the performance hurdles have not been met on that test date, then any unvested performance rights will lapse. The performance hurdles which apply in respect of the grant of these performance rights are relative total shareholder return, 33.3%, earnings per share, 33.3%, and return on invested capital, 33.4%. This is the first proposed long-term incentive equity award that will be subject to three performance hurdles. Details of the performance hurdles are set out in the notice of meeting. As disclosed in the notice of meeting, the proposed grant of performance rights for FY18 will be the first to be subject to a third performance hurdle, return on invested capital. The board introduced the additional performance hurdle as it is a returns-based and measures the efficiency of earnings generated from the capital investments made by the company at a time when we are undertaking significant developments at all of our properties. The return on invested capital measure seeks to create alignment of incentive programs to drive the execution of the company's capital strategy to build new assets and improve existing properties with the aim of generating additional revenue and ultimately sustainable value for shareholders. Details of valid proxies and direct votes in respect of this item, item 5, are set out on the screen. Are there any questions? There are no questions. I now move that approval be given to the grant of 627,706 performance rights to the Managing Director, Chief Executive Officer of Star Entertainment Group, Mr. Matt Bekier, under the long-term performance plan and on the basis described in the explanatory memorandum contained in the notice of meeting. The directors unanimously recommend that shareholders vote in favour of this resolution. As with the previous items, a poll in relation to this resolution will be taken at the end of the meeting. Again, if you wish, you may mark your voting card now. Please tick either for or against the box next to item 5 and hold on to your voting card until the end of the meeting. Items 6 and 7, the next two items of business relate to amendments to the company's constitution. Item 6, first of all, amendments to the constitution, definitions and small shareholdings. Item 6 is seeking approval for the company's constitution to be modified by making amendments described in the explanatory memorandum contained in the notice of meeting. I now table a copy of the modified constitution that's been signed by me for purposes of identification. The main amendments are to update the definitions that relate to the New South Wales regulator and the company's subsidiaries that have recently changed their names, and to provide additional flexibility for the company to determine the applicable timing requirements in the provisions relating to the sale of small shareholdings. The proposed amendments have been approved by the relevant regulatory authorities, that is the New South Wales Independent Liquor and Gaming Authority and the relevant Queensland Minister. Details of valid proxies and direct votes in respect to this item are set out on the screen. Are there any questions on this item, item 6?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I have a question from Darius Pezek.
Have to speak up.
Good morning. I just have a question which relates probably to rather notes to the financial statements, if I'm allowed to ask now. It's sort of at the end of the annual report. What I was trying to find is the actual definition of the win rate. And I wonder if this should be included, this explanation should be included to the notes of financial statement. So I don't know if someone could actually define that term.
Thank you. I'll hand over to Matt Beckett to respond.
Yes. Thank you, Chairman. Look, the suggestion that we define WINRED is helpful. We can put that into the glossary of the financial report and make sure that that's adequately explained. In summary, the WINRED varies by game that we offer, and it's basically the expected theoretical revenue that we expect to generate of the amount of money that is being bet. And depending on which game it is, that ratio changes. But we'll look at the suggestion to put that into the financial report as a definition. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions on item 6? As there are no more questions, I now put the motion to approve item 6, that the company's constitution be modified by making the amendments set out in the explanatory memorandum of the notice of meeting and contained in the document tabled at this meeting for the purposes of identification. If you wish, you may mark your voting card now. Please tick either the for or against box next to item 6 and hold on to your voting card until the end of the meeting. We'll now proceed to the final item of business, item 7. Item 7 is seeking approval for the reinstatement of the proportional takeover provisions contained in the constitution of the company on the same terms as previously contained in Clause 79 of the constitution of the company. The reasons for the reinstatement of the proportional takeover provision in the constitution are set out in detail in the explanatory memorandum contained in the notice of meeting. I note that the restatement of these provisions contained in the company's constitution was last voted upon at the 2014 AGM with a vote of 99.73% in favour. Details of valid proxies and direct votes in respect to this item of business are set out on the screen. Are there any questions? As there are no questions, I now put the motion to approve item 7, that clause 79, the company's constitution is renewed in accordance with part 6.5 of the Corporations Act for a period of 3 years commencing on the date this resolution is passed. Please mark your voting card now by ticking either the for or against box next to item 7. I'll now confirm that we will, as I said earlier, now conduct a poll in relation to all items of business, that is items 2 to 7. Upon entering the meeting, all shareholders and appointed proxies who are eligible to vote at this meeting received a green admission card. This card is your ballot paper and contains all resolutions at this meeting. Proxy holders who hold open votes will need to record a vote in favour or against the resolution on the ballot paper. If the shareholder appointing the proxy has given directions on the proxy form as to how the proxy should vote, then the vote will already be recorded in accordance with that direction. You need only vote those open votes on the voting card. I ask that if you have not already done so, you record your vote by placing a mark in the box either for or against each resolution. Once you've completed the voting paper, you may place it into one of the ballot boxes held by the share registry staff or place it in one of the ballot boxes near the exit. The independent scrutineer appointed for the poll will conduct a review of the poll papers and procedures before a determination of the results is made. Results of the poll will be advised to the ASX as soon as possible after the meeting. There's no further business, and that concludes this annual general meeting for FY17. And I'd like very sincerely to thank you once again for your attendance and support for your company, Star Entertainment Group. Please note, for those shareholders who drove today, we have provided complimentary car parking. The car park exit tickets provided to you when you registered your attendance have been pre-validated. And finally, I invite you all to stay and join me, our fellow directors and members of the executive management team, for refreshments which will be served outside in the foyer of the Lyric Theatre. Thank you very much for being here. Thank you.